Welcome, friends, to episode 27 of the Fast and Fabulous podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Montone. I'm a full-time mom, fasting coach, and podcaster. My entire adult life was always centered around losing weight and got exceptionally difficult after having children. I had tried everything: pills, shakes, wraps, counting calories and macros, over-exercising. I was the ultimate yo-yo dieter until January 2020 when I discovered clean intermittent fasting. 3 years later, I'm down 50 pounds, 4 to 5 sizes, but most importantly, I've been able to maintain a healthy weight for the first time in my adult life for over 2 years now. So please stop counting calories and stick with me, because we all have the power to lose weight and keep it off naturally. Best of all, it's absolutely free. Please remember to consult your physician before embarking on an intermittent fasting lifestyle. Also, please do not use any of the following information in place of medical advice. Are you new to the fasting world, jumping back in, or maybe just need some help breaking through that old plateau? With all of the knowledge and resources out there, it is absolutely okay to need a bit of help. Did you know I now offer coaching? Helping others find this freedom and setting them up for a lifetime of optimal health and wellness is my passion, and I want to help you. Please visit fastandfabulouspodcast.com to learn more. You guys, today I am so excited to have Tammy Durkin on the show. Tammy is a 57-year-old home care nurse who lives in a small town in Tip City, Ohio, but spends half of the year in San Antonio, Texas, with her wonderful husband and dog. Tammy began intermittent fasting on Halloween of 2019 and has been fasting every day since. With daily fasting and some light exercise, she was able to release over 35 pounds and feels better than she has in years. She's now comfortably at 125 pounds and in a size 4 or 6. Tammy knows this is the correct lifestyle for her because she has lost the extra weight, post-menopause by the way, and has been in maintenance ever since. All of her lab work is in with normal limits now, which is her biggest win of all, and plans to embrace intermittent fasting as her lifestyle forever. Welcome everyone to episode 27 of the Fast and Fabulous podcast. I am so excited to have Tammy Durkin on the show today. Tammy, I am so impressed with your story. You're such a shining light in our community. I absolutely love all of your input. Thank you so much for being on today. It does take a lot of courage and vulnerability to come on and share your story. So I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing with us, because really that's how we're changing the world, spreading the word of intermittent fasting. Because let's face it, it's up to us to spread the word. And people, you know, who write these books and have podcasts, we're all in this together. So Tammy, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you. I really, really am. So I really like to start with the same question I always start with. And how and when did you discover clean intermittent fasting?
Okay. Well, there's the short answer is our Halloween of 2019. That's the short, quick answer, but, I have been doing this now for over three and a half years.
Wow.
But of course, there's always a backstory, and going way back, I don't need to go into a super long story, but I didn't struggle with my weight. So actually in high school, I was considered underweight, and there was even a time they thought I was anorexic, but I actually wasn't. I only weighed about 98 pounds in high school, but I just wasn't hungry. I just didn't eat. And what happened was a couple of teachers had seen that I wasn't eating in the cafeteria, and then they call my parents, and then they think I might have an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that at all. I just was not a big eater. And I think I probably just naturally was intuitively eating when I want to. And so we finally worked it out that it wasn't that I had anorexia. I just was small. I am only 5'2". Mm-hmm. So I was small bones, small in stature. And I was active. I wasn't really in sports, but I would swim a little bit and out, you know, back in the day when you're riding your bikes with the kids and running the neighborhood and, mm-hmm. you know, that didn't have a care in the world at that time, you know, maybe we should have. But anyway, basically, let's move forward from that. My first time I went to college, I have a degree in early childhood education from back in my 20s. And I used to be like a home care worker or a home daycare. I worked in a daycare center and was like a preschool teacher type of thing.
Yeah.
So I have that degree from back then. And I, you know, still was in I probably got into my 115, low 120s all the way through. I breezed through my 20s, my 30s. I got married. And I was actually very thin when I got married. I mean, I think, you know, I was probably 115 when I got married. And then that was in 93. So we're actually going to have our 30th anniversary next month.
Congratulations. Wow. That's 30, amazing.
30 years. So I'm so thrilled about that. So then I had kids, and you know what I'm going to say.
Of course I do. Yeah.
So now my first one, not so bad. I was thin. I was very low weight when I had her. Mm-hmm. And I lost the weight pretty much, but I was actually diagnosed with gestational diabetes. And don't know why. I don't know if it was in my family history. I have to say real quick, I am adopted. So I have limited information about my biological family, but I do know that my biological mother did have type 2 diabetes.
Okay.
She was obese and she did die from complications of type 2 diabetes in her 50s.
So and you're at risk. Yeah.
I'm 57. I'm 57 right now.
Right.
So that was always on my radar. Okay. And the doctors just kind of said, well, this will probably work itself out after you have the kids. And I got it every time. Each of the three kids, I got it every time. And each time it was harder and harder to lose the weight. And then my third and final child was 20 years ago. So he's 20. So in 2003, he was born. And I just afterwards really struggled with taking that weight off. And I was probably in the 140s, 145, you know, that's overweight for somebody who's 5'2".
Mm-hmm.
And also, as they were getting older, and you know, your kids get in the lollipop soccer, and you're running around here and there to all these sports teams, cross country and track, we're grabbing fast food.
Of course.
We're going McDonald's, Burger King, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I were splitting up, going to different sporting events with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And just over time, cumulatively, it was a slow gain all the way up to perimenopause, mm-hmm. which, you know, was in my mid-40s. And by the way, in my mid-40s is when I decided to go to nursing school.
Oh, wow.
So I was late going to school. I decided I wanted to become a nurse, and I did that. I got through that. Of course, during nursing school, it's a stressful time.
I can
so
bet.
Your cortisone is out the wazoo, and you're stressed, and I'm eating more, and I'm stress eating all the time while I'm studying, you know.
Wow, yeah.
So it was a slow gain, and then when I hit menopause, around 50, it just got worse. I mean, I ballooned from the 140s up to the 160s. I quit getting on the scale at about 160. So I know that I was probably higher, but we're going to stick with facts here.
We'll go with 160.
Yeah, but I know that it was more. So I was feeling bad. I was tired all the time. I was achy. I was having some breathing issues. Like,
oh, wow.
You ever like lay in bed when you were, you know, when you had more weight on you like you had to sit up so I was probably on the road to having to have a sleep study. I was had that on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing that exploded everything for me in my mind was when I got the blood work in 2019. This is prior to Halloween. So around my birthday, I always go to the doctor. My birthday's in August. So okay. September, around there. And I find out I'm pre-diabetic.
Oh my goodness.
I was and high triglycerides, high cholesterol. And of course, I just felt like awful.
Yeah.
Tired, fatigued. I don't like to use the word depressed because I feel like that's something I should be able to control, but I know my mood was down. I felt awful and I felt terrible in my skin, terrible in my clothes. So, but when I got that bombshell pre-diabetic, that scared me. And I'm like, I'm a nurse, you know, I should be able to fix this. You know, I should be able to know. Sure. And the doctors, you know, he wanted to throw statins at me.
Of course.
Wanted to start talking about medication for diabetes. And I'm like, no. And my doctor, we'll get to that later, but eventually I'm going to find a functional doctor, basically.
Functional medicine doctors are really the way to go at this point. So you discovered in late 2019 that you were pre-diabetic, you had high triglycerides, high cholesterol, and that's kind of when the alarm went off for you that you need to do something.
Yes.
So how did you discover clean fasting? Was it through Jen's book? Was it through another way, a friend, a family member?
Well, yes. And I'll tell you a little bit how that happened. So years ago, I wasn't a yo-yo dieter. I didn't try all the other diets out there. I was a lazy dieter. Because I didn't want to count anything. I call myself a lazy dieter. I'm not doing that. I'm not joining a group. And I was cheap. I didn't want to pay for Weight Watchers or any of those groups. Mm-hmm. So I did the Atkins back in the day when it was Atkins, I guess in the 90s and early 2000s. And
yeah.
Trying to remember if you had to keep it below 10 or 20 grams. I don't remember what it was.
I don't know.
But whatever it was, I had IBS from that. For lack of a better word, I had stomach issues from that. And so, but it worked because, you know, you're having diarrhea and you're not feeling good. You feel terrible.
You're eating no carbs at all. So,
yeah.
And even fruit. I think Atkins, didn't it eliminate fruit too in your diet?
Yes. Yeah. And, right. And picking out some fiber that could be some good fiber that you need. So anyway, fast forwarding to where now it's morphed into keto, the keto diet. So I got on Facebook and I got into a keto Facebook group because I'm like, I was able to lose weight on Atkins. And I thought, well, let's see. Maybe this keto is different. Maybe it's not the same thing. Sure. And so I try keto and I try the recipes. IBS comes back. Full force. And there's people in those groups saying, no, you have to get past the keto flu. It's the keto flu. You just have to get yourself through that. And I'm like, okay. And I do this for 4 or 5 weeks. And I just, Michelle, I felt miserable. Miserable.
I bet you did.
I was ready to leave. And I didn't post, you know, I'm leaving. I just was in someone else's posting. And I said something about how I think I'm going to have to leave this group. I can't do keto. And a woman came in. I wish I knew her name. Don't know her name. I'd give her credit. But she said, have you ever tried intermittent fasting with keto? And already I'm like, keto, no. And I said, intermittent fasting? I'm like, you know, I heard of fasting. I'm a Catholic. You know, we fast. And right now we're in Lent, you know. And
sure.
We do a little bit of fasting, you know.
Sure.
So I was like, no, can you tell me more about that? And she didn't tell me a lot about it, but she told me about the book Delay, Don't Deny.
Okay.
So she did say it, and I'm like, okay, I'll get the book. And I have Audible and I also have books, you know, I'll get the book.
Yeah.
So I got the book. We're getting closer to Halloween of 2019. And basically it was, so our Halloween Beggar's Night is not always on Halloween. Who knows why the city does it when they want to do it. Mm-hmm. It was like the day before.
Okay.
So I'm sitting there with the book and I'm passing out candy. The weather wasn't good. It was rainy and cold out. So I'm sitting in a chair in the entryway and having to up and down, answer the door, pass out the candy as I'm eating the junky candy myself.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. And so my knees are hurting from up and down and just the weight. And mm-hmm. So toward the end of the trick-or-treating, when it started dying down, I grabbed the book, started reading it, that first chapter, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Second chapter, reading through, trick-or-treaters are coming and going, and finally I closed up shop and we're done with that. And I'm like reading this, and I go up to my bed and I'm reading it till like midnight. When I got to the chapter about insulin, it resonated with me. Insulin. And I know she didn't go, she didn't even, I don't even think she used the word clean fast in that book, but she talked about what you should not be having, you know,
yeah.
Like obviously you're black. I'm having my coffee.
Me too, lady. Black coffee. Still on the black coffee this morning.
Black coffee. So in the groups, I'm kicking and screaming in the aisle of the creamer aisle. Like, I don't want to give up my creamer.
Yeah.
I did not just automatically, I did start fast. The first day was Halloween, the 31st, that next day. As I'm reading her book, I'm like, oh, I can fast. Fasted for 16 hours. Mm-hmm. So that was my true first fast, was on Halloween of 2019.
Okay.
And I have fasted every single day since, every day. And in the groups, the Facebook group was golden to me because I got all this great information from people, and they were saying, nope, they're saying, no, you have to clean fast. I'm like, but I switched from the sweet creamer to like half and half. I'm like, should be able to have half and half. No. After about 3 or 4 weeks, I'm like, I raise the white flag. I give up.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go black. Took me 2 or 3 weeks, Michelle, and coffee tastes great to me ever since.
It is such an acquired. Yeah. I did the same thing. Like, I think this is super common across the board. The creamer and the coffee is like the major thing people can't seem to part with. I was the type of person like you that needed the creamer in my coffee. I put so much creamer in my coffee. It was like, do you want some coffee with your cream and sugar? Because it was like a milkshake.
And dessert.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was the hardest thing for me to give up. And it's across the board. I see it every day. But yeah. The fact is that if you use plain half and half, flavored half and half, it doesn't matter. Half and half milk, it's food. And you're putting food into your coffee, it will break your fast. So
exactly.
See, my shirt. Fasting so much harder. Oh, I love that. Sunshine
and coffee. And
coffee. Beautiful. Beautiful.
So I thought I would wear that for today. But it makes a world of difference. And listening to you and others in the group, I can't remember when I first started hearing you, but I was stalking you.
That's okay. I enjoy stalkers.
Yeah.
The good times, anyway.
At some point, and especially when Jen left the group, yes, which I was very sad by
me
that.
Too.
And I'm like, well, I don't really need to pay for a group. I already know, you know.
Yeah.
So then, you know, I'm doing this and now I'm in maintenance. But once I got my hands on Fast Feast Repeat, that book is just the golden Bible.
It's the Bible.
It is.
It is the fasting Bible.
It is amazing. It's incredible.
Honestly, it's delay. I say delay, don't deny, changed my life because it's what allowed me to start fasting.
Thinking,
I was in Jin's original, you know, delay, don't deny group way back in the day when there was like 300,000 members in it.
Yeah, and me too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I got a lot of support from that group and I learned about the clean fast, but it wasn't until Fast, Feast, Repeat that she really got into why we have to clean fast. And that is a game changer because otherwise you're just on a super restricted calorie diet. And oh my gosh.
White knuckling it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You're going to be white knuckling all day long.
Yeah.
So the clean fast is 100% where the magic happens.
Yeah. And there's no doubt about it. And I've tried to tell several people that. But there's, you know, we could talk about that if you want to, but
sure.
A few people who I have gotten into fasting, some mm-hmm. friends, you know, a couple of family members, and I just don't know how to, I'm like, you've just got to read this book. I mean, I even bought the book I probably bought 4 or 5 books now of Fast, Feast, Repeat just to, Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you just have to read it for yourself. She has like 3 chapters dedicated just to the clean fast. And it's in these other ones out there. I mean, I've learned a lot from Dr. Jason Fong. I actually, my husband, we'll get to my husband because he's doing it too.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. He had to hear from a man's perspective, you know?
Yeah.
I had to hear from a scientist, a true of doctor. Course. And some people so I would have it on Audible, like the obesity code. I'd have it on Audible and he'd walk in and out of the room and he'd hear bits and pieces. And obviously after seeing me and it's working for me and I'm able to maintain it, you know, he's not going to shout it from the rooftops. He's not going to announce to anybody that he's doing it, except for a few people at his work who are doing it. Mm-hmm. He just decided one day he's going to stop his nightly ice cream. He wanted his nightly ice cream, and he's going to stop eating the breakfast in the morning. And he was never really very heavy, but he had a little bit of the COVID belly, you know.
Sure.
COVID didn't affect me because I'm a nurse, so I was working.
Of course
you
were. Yeah. I mean, and thank you for that. That's, I mean,
yeah.
Without
I went y'all, through it.
It was, yeah. That was incredible. So yeah. A lot of, getting back to your husband really quick,
yeah.
I find this true with a lot of men, and it's hard for men to be vulnerable and be, you know, the sharer, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot of us are females, and I would really like to change that. I would love to have more men on the show, and I'd love to have more men come out and tell their stories. So if you're a man listening and you've lost weight with clean intermittent fasting, I would love to have you. So if your husband reaches his goal, or even if he doesn't, I would love to speak to him too, if he decides to be a chef.
I'll tell him. Yeah, honestly. I'll tell him that.
I mean, love it.
And you know what he said to me, Michelle? My husband's not one to throw out compliments all the time. I mean, hey, we're going to be married 30 years, right? You know?
Yeah.
One day we're just having our coffee and he said, you know, I got to tell you something. He says, I am proud of you. He said, you had a problem. You researched this problem. You figured it out. I'm almost going to cry.
Try not to cry. Stop it.
Yeah. No crying. No. And he said, you figured out the problem and what to do. You researched it and you solved your problem and you're working through this. And he said, I'm just so proud of you for that. And that meant a lot to me. That meant so much to me.
That is so beautiful. It really is. And, I had a similar experience. My husband is just constantly telling me stuff now about how proud and everything he is of everything that I've done to this point. So it's nice to have that support in your life. And not everyone does. You know, there are some people out there doing this alone with no support from friends or family.
That's right.
You know, that's why we're here, to give that support and to lend a hand and to lend an ear. So,
and we have more energy to do things. Like, we live on the Riverwalk in San Antonio, Texas right now. You know, I don't know if you remember that we're living a tale of two cities, you know?
Yes.
I'm from Ohio, but because of my husband's job, we're down in San Antonio.
Okay.
And we live on corporate housing right now, which is really nice. It's like a resort with a pool and a workout room and all this stuff, so I can work out. And we take the dog and we go walking almost just about every day on the Riverwalk. We can walk to all these restaurants. We have more energy to do things. We're just so free, and you know,
it's freedom. That's what you absolutely
not holding us back,
right? You know, like, because you don't have to worry about getting the food in the morning. And really, if you think about back before you were fasting, after you had breakfast, I would always get so tired after I ate, you know, no matter what it was, even if it was a healthy breakfast, I would still get sluggish and tired a couple hours later and be like, hungry again, you know? And obviously we know now why. And it's just a lot of freedom, a lot of energy. And so let's talk a little bit about, you know, your kids. Are your kids, they're grown and out of the house now?
Well, my daughter she's out of the house. She has a condo. Actually, they're going to be coming. She and her boyfriend are going to come down next month and spend some time with us. So that'll be fun.
Okay.
So she's out and she's a speech pathologist.
Okay.
And, so she has her career. Our two boys are currently living in our house in Ohio, which we want them to, because we don't want the house unoccupied while we're gone.
Sure.
The one son, the younger one, the 20-year-old, is actually moving out with a friend really soon. So it's like, okay, my middle boy, who's 24, we're like, okay, you don't get this big giant house all to yourself, you know. Eventually, we're going to downsize to a smaller house there and maybe buy a small house here. Because for the next 5 or 6 years until my husband retires, his company's pulling us down here to Texas. Okay. So, but all three of my kids are naturally thin because I think they naturally did fasting. I was the mom that tried to push breakfast on them back in the day when you thought you had to.
Right.
Here, have this juice box, you know, all day long and let's, you know, but, they're thin because they don't want to eat until 12 or 1 o'clock. I don't think my daughter eats till like 1 o'clock.
So she's and just a natural intermittent faster. It sounds like, are they supportive of your journey and everything?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Great. Nobody has said that in my family that they're worried about that. Yeah. I might have had an acquaintance one time say, you're going to kill your metabolism. I'm like, you don't understand it. You know, you have to read this book, you know?
I just hand them the book, Educate Yourself, Please. My goodness. Okay. So
and being a nurse, I understand about insulin and how it works. And I try to educate, you know, in nursing school, there was one little class on nutrition. You know, they don't talk much about nutrition and how
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. One little class on nutrition. And it was basically move more, eat less, move more.
So that's interesting that you say that because I asked my doctor, he went to medical school, and I asked him because he saw me when I was at my heaviest, and then he saw me when I lost all the weight, and he goes, what the heck are you doing? Like, all my lab work came back great. I was in a good, healthy weight at that point. And he's like, whatever it is you're doing, it's working. I'm like, well, I do intermittent fasting, and he's very supportive of it, even though he's a regular doctor, not a functional medicine doctor. He was open-minded. And I asked him, I said, how much nutrition education do you get in med school? He goes, about an hour or so.
Yeah. Right. I don't understand.
It blew my mind.
It does blow your mind. Me too, as a nurse, I had a quarter. We did have a class on it, but it wasn't even really addressing. It wasn't addressing root causes of why we become overweight or obese.
Symptoms. Yeah. Treat the symptoms.
Treat it. Here's a statin. Here's a here's metformin. Here, take this. Take that. And my own doctor, he saw me lose the weight too, Michelle. But he would not that I'm looking for like a golden trophy or anything. But I wanted him to support me in my fasting,
of course.
He basically said, "Your cholesterol is a lot better, but it's still a little elevated. Just because of your age, you should keep taking them." I'm like, nope, not doing it anymore. So I'm non-compliant now. And I'm not, you know, I just feel like he wasn't supporting me in this. And so I don't think when I get back to Ohio, I'm not going to that doctor anymore.
Yeah, I would find one that actually supports you. And I feel like cholesterol is pretty misunderstood.
I do
days.
Too.
You know, I'm not going to get into that because I'm not a medical professional, but I think that you've probably had some of that research come across your way. So you said that you walk every day down. I like to talk about movement, physical activity. Yeah. I feel like it's very, very important in intermittent fasting. And so beyond walking, is there anything else that you do in your intermittent fasting lifestyle?
Yes. So one funny thing, and then the funny thing is I like to turn on, I'm an 80s junkie. I turn the 80s music on my Alexa and I nerdy dance, you know?
I love it, lady. I love it. Dancing is so fun and it's great.
Dancing to Queen and Journey and all the 80s, you know, I do. And I don't know what the people downstairs, because I am kind of in an apartment complex type thing, but nobody's hit the broom on the ceiling. So.
No one's complaining. Keep going. Keep dancing.
And the hallways are long. I take my 5-pound handbells, one in each hand, and I walk the halls.
That's
and
amazing.
I'm going like that through the halls. Now, I know that I never was strong to begin with, so I just need to strengthen up. I still have that flabby underneath the arms that I'm working on. And so I already did my rounds. I did my step counter, you know, with my phone, and I forgot my Fitbit in Ohio, but I did it on my phone and found out how many steps it is to make a mile. Mm-hmm. So I know I have to go 10 rounds through the hallways with my weights to get the 2 miles. And that's only if it's a bad day. If it's right. a good day out, I'm out walking outside.
And it's so good for you to be outside with the sun, so, vitamin D coming down on you, yeah. the fresh air.
Yeah,
I love walking. That's how I, you know, when I was losing weight, I just walked. I walked yeah. and yeah. eventually I could run a bit. And the long story short, I had to stop. I'm not going to get into that. But I think that physical activity is very, very important. But if you're just starting out, if you're listening to this and you're just starting out on your fasting journey and you're like, oh, I'm going to hit the gym tomorrow, you know, please, please just ease up on whatever it is you're doing. If you're like a CrossFitter, you know, and you think that you're going to start fasting and doing CrossFit first thing in the morning, I'm yeah. sorry. Please right. don't, because you're going to hit a wall. So yeah. what I always say to people is ease into your exercise routine. And, Agreed. You know, mm-hmm. I always tell people to start just walking, move your mm-hmm. body in a fasted mm-hmm. state every yes. single day.
That's that you key. Can.
Yes.
You have to be fasted. And I have so much energy. I feel like I could jump off the balcony. And my husband's like, don't do that. No. But I.
Yes, but don't.
No, I'm on the second floor, so it's not too far. But no, there's no. But I do. You see me right now. I'm 20 hours fasted. I'm full of life and I'm full of joy.
I just
am so happy in my life right now. I'm blown away by this, and I thank Jen and you, people like you who just are teaching us the way and living the life. And also myself being postmenopausal, I want to reach out to those people who are either peri or in it or post. You can be healthy and happy and feel good during menopause. And we don't have to resign ourselves to just gaining all this weight because we're getting older.
And that's what they'll tell. That's what they'll tell me. That's what they started to tell me at the doctor's offices, my OBGYN. Oh, you know, I hit perimenopause in my late 30s, so I'm still in it. 2 to 10 years is what they say. But they're just like, it's just your age. That's why mm-hmm. you're gaining weight. That's why you have IBS. That's why this and that and the other thing. And nobody mentioned nutrition. Nobody mentioned you're at an unhealthy weight. So it was very eye-opening, because within the first week of fasting, I, like you, had IBS.
Mm-hmm.
All of my symptoms were mostly gone within the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's when I had not lost a pound, but that's when I said, I don't care if I don't lose any weight. This is amazing.
You feel better.
I just felt so much better. And I decided I was onto something amazing. And
it is amazing.
So I have to ask, is your IBS better now?
Yes. Now I did have to struggle through some breakouts but get this, the issue then was not the fasting, it's what I was eating. So I'm cleaning up what I'm eating. But see, what happens is when you fast and you're eating less, like I mostly do OMAD. So one meal a day, for those who don't know what that is, that are listening. I was kind of like, it's almost like, if you clean out your garage and clean out all the clutter, you can find the bugs. Okay. Finding what I'm eating that's bothering me. And bottom line, long story short, is too much dairy and too many greasy fried foods. Like, I can't even eat bacon. It makes me sick to my, I'm realizing what it is. My coffee is okay if I just have one cup. Mm-hmm. If I have two or three, that causes, have a flare up. It's depending on what I'm eating.
It really teaches us so much about our bodies, right? Like mm-hmm. it before, when we were, you know, all inflamed, you're cluttered. You can't hear what your body's trying to tell you every single time you put a food or a beverage in your mouth. Mm-hmm. But now once you get fat adapted, and it is a process for everyone. It comes at different
times. It's taken a while. Yeah.
But I'm like you, 3 years in, I'm still learning about.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. All these different things that I never even considered 2 years mm-hmm. ago when I, you know, was just newly at a healthy weight.
Yeah.
So it is a process, and you chip away at
that's it.
One mm-hmm. thing after the other that's not serving your body well.
Yeah. Too much dairy.
Yeah.
It's not like I never can have it, but I have to be careful. Don't eat too much cheese. Don't have too many eggs, you know, don't have too much black coffee. I'm learning, and I'm taking those cues from my body. So when Jen says, listen to your body, she's not kidding about that. I'm eating more healthy foods. I'm eating more fruits and vegetables. In fact, I'm eating what I call the God diet. And to me, the God diet is what God gave us off the land. Fruits, vegetables, and animals. I do eat animals.
Real food. We're omnivores. We're meant to eat animals.
Yes.
I mean, I'm no slight to any vegetarians, vegans listening. You can get protein too, but to be frank and honest, we get all the amino acids, all of the macronutrients you really need are from animal protein. I mean, I'm in no way, shape, or form a keto, a carnivore, anything like that. But I do protein. I'm protein forward. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't like that 2 years ago. I was plant-based because I thought that the meat was causing me digestive issues.
Yeah.
But out of, trial and error, it turns out that wasn't the issue.
The study of one. Yeah.
Study of one. We're all different.
Yeah. Yeah. I work really well on, I can eat the carbs, but more whole carbs are better for me. I know that. And I do better. If I go out and have San Antonio, that the first time I came last year, I did gain 5 or 6 pounds because, you're in a new city. You're like a kid in a candy store.
Oh, yeah.
This food, this Mexican food down here is just incredible. Amazing. It's to die for. So I gained, but I didn't panic because I knew what to do. Sure. And I told my husband, I'm like, listen, we can't go out to eat every night. We can't go out every other night. I'm like, we got to stop this. So we're finally doing date night on Friday nights where we do go out. But now I can even have the Mexican food. Just go for the good grilled vegetables and have the corn flour, the corn tortillas and not the flour ones.
Yeah.
Just have something that's better.
It's just making those small changes and being aware that what they're putting in our foods, not just restaurants, but the snack companies, all the food companies, they're putting in these oils and stuff that we're never meant to be able to consume or process as humans. So what it does actually is it triggers a chemical response in our brain that wants us to just eat and snack more and more and more. So when you discover that, it's like it's totally life changing and a light goes off and it's insane. So I want to just ask you, I know you said you're kind of like you eat, no food is off the table for you. But would you consider yourself like low carbs? You don't count macros or anything like that.
No. I don't count anything. I eat what I think about. What do I want? I don't meal plan for a whole week or anything like that. I just think about what do I want. Almost every day I want those great roasted vegetables. Yeah. And I do use olive oil, maybe some avocado oil, but I do use the good oils.
Two great oils.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, I really don't count. I don't want to. I told you I'm lazy.
you can't be that lazy. Come on.
I'm a lazy dieter, but this is not a diet, obviously.
We're not on a diet. This is a lifestyle, right?
Yeah. So I think about what I want and it's like Graham, Graham. Okay. I love Graham. So he has said before, I eat what my body craves, he'll think about it and he might think about it that morning. Like, well, I'm craving this. I want this. And I do think your body will naturally crave when your body's working the way it's supposed to. It's going to crave what you need. And I'm not a huge, I was never a huge sweet eater. I'm not big on sweets. But my problem was the salty chips and the pretzels and all of that. I could eat a whole bag of chips. Now, if I crave it, I can put a little handful of chips on my plate as a little snack or something. Or if my window's 4 hours, I'll have a little bit of chips. But I know my body knows when to stop.
And you feel more in control, right?
Yeah. The satiety signal comes in full force. And by the way, my food has to be savory and delicious. So I like good sauces. I like to make homemade sauces.
Okay.
Good gravies, but without all this, none of these pre-packaged stuff.
Like homemade from scratch stuff.
Yeah.
That's honestly, it's getting away from all that pre-packaged nonsense and making it yourself. So I love to ask this too. What are some of your favorite go-to fast breakers?
Fast breakers. Either a light soup, low salt, because too much salt is not good and it's inflammatory anyway. Yeah, for sure. You know, so or I like Greek yogurt, which I know I said I have a little bit of a dairy issue, but not with the Greek yogurt.
Me
I
can either.
Isn't it funny? Like, but these other yogurts with the sweet and all the fruit and the fruit on the bottom, I can't do those.
I can't do them either. That's so
it
weird.
It upsets my stomach.
Yeah, I have a dairy sensitivity too, but Greek yogurt does not bother me.
Yeah, and I put some flaxseed and hemp. I have like a three thing, like flaxseed, hemp, and chia seeds. I put that on.
Love it.
And I have that. So something just light, you know, I like nuts and I eat legumes and beans and nuts, but I can't really start with that. Yeah. I have to finish. I need something lighter. You can't start with something really dense.
Yeah.
So it has to be light. And
yeah,
cottage cheese, I can have a little bit of that, but I just have to be careful how much I have.
Sure.
So, yeah, things all like right. that.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, yeah. So everyone, you know, everyone's very curious about our, you know, what are your go-to fast breakers? And I just always like to ask that because what you start your feasting window with will highly depend on the rest of your window and the quality of the foods that you're going to gravitate towards. And if you start with a very processed meal or, you know, something that's junky, you're going to gravitate towards the junk in your window and you're probably going to feel like garbage. So I would always recommend that to start with something very healthy, something protein forward. And all of those things are amazing, amazing things. And some people can't start with just a snack. Some people are like, hey, I need to eat my meal right now. Like my husband's like that. He wants to eat his meal like right away. And then he'll close with a snack. All right. So
and I'll have a piece of dark chocolate. Like I do, I don't crave real sweets, but like back when I said I was eating the Halloween candy, I mean, you know, the Reese cups and the Twix bars, that's just gross. Now that I won't even eat that stuff. Good, rich, dark chocolate, or you know, those cocoa beans that have dark chocolate.
Oh yeah.
I love that.
Those are delicious.
And I just can have a little bit. I don't need to eat a whole bar of chocolate. I can have one little square and I feel satisfied. And I do, by the way, I do have a little bit of alcohol still. I've way reduced alcohol, but that sounds like I was a raging alcoholic, I would have daily wine or a beer. Now on our date night, on Friday night, I can have one drink and I don't crave any more. And I am gravitating more toward darker, cleaner wines that don't have added sugar. And I'm fine with that.
Listen, I drank through all my weight loss but I figured out that I had to delay it. And then I figured out that like certain alcohols were not my friend, you know, they inflamed me more, but as I'm going in my journey, I'm more like you. Like I'm once a week, one drink, I'm done.
And you can have one and done.
One and done. And it's, I don't feel like trash the next day or the next several days, depending on how much you drink. Because I'm 40, almost 42. But I mean, this seems to be kind of a pattern across the board with a lot of my guests is that alcohol used to be in their life and now it is either gone or it's lessened. Very minimal.
Yeah.
Right. And it's actually so refreshing to hear all of this because alcohol really, I mean, your body does not know what to do with it. Your liver doesn't know what to do with it. And if you know that your fast the next day will be extremely more difficult. Mm-hmm. And if you go to work out in the morning, instead of burning down your glucose first and then hitting your fat, you're going to burn off the alcohol first. So,
don't sleep well. You don't sleep well either.
Never.
Because my sleep is terrible. Like I'm okay. The one and done. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. But boy, when I was drinking two or three glasses of something you can't sleep. Your body doesn't know what to do with it. Nope. And it's just excess junk that we don't need in our body is not serving our body at all. So, I feel full. So like we went out the other night and on Friday night and I had one beer and he's like, do you want another one to share? And I said, no, if you want one, you can have one, but I feel full. It's like, why would I want to drink if I feel full? It's like, so the satiety itself is helping with that. And I just don't crave it anymore. I probably could do without alcohol, but I enjoy it once in a while.
I mean, I do too. And I feel like we shouldn't have to give it up if you don't want to. And feeling control of it. Let's talk about satiety for a second, because this is really huge, because I feel like this separates success from people who don't seem to see success or maybe fall off the wagon, if you want. I don't like that word. But finding your satiety signals. So Jen talks about in her book, The Sigh, which I always talk about the sigh, because for me, that is my sign that I'm getting full. So what would you say your satiety signal looks like? Because it could be different for everyone.
Right. As I'm finishing up the meal, like mine's almost like black and white. It's so strange, but like, remember, like when we were eating bad and everything, we could just feel full and just keep eating and, you know, this tastes good. I think it was more about taste or something. Mm-hmm. Our body wasn't getting that satiety signal. But now when I get that signal, I can barely even eat one or two more bites. It's like really black and white. Like you're done. It's like my body's saying you're done. You're done. Just stop. And if
crazy?
I push it. And then if you push it, you feel horrible. Like, I almost feel like I could vomit. Like, if I were to have the big Thanksgiving meal right now, I would just want to go on a couch and roll into a ball and die. You know?
I can't even imagine, like, thinking back at those giant Thanksgiving meals or holiday meals, whatever it was. I would just keep going and going because it tasted good. But I feel like when you're eating and eating and eating, and the faster you're shoving food into your mouth, the slower it takes for your brain to realize that you're full.
Yeah, that's so true too.
A huge tip I like to give people is that slow it down.
Yeah.
Enjoy your food. You will be able to hear your satiety signals so much better. And I love that.
And make your meal an event. Like make it a joyful, like I feel like Europeans will sit down at the table and they'll be there for 2 hours and they have their wine and they eat their meal in like courses. And, you know, and they're like slowing down where we're running around grabbing our food. We Americans are just terrible. The habits that we've developed of running around and grabbing food all the time and eating it while you're standing up. And one time my husband was doing that and he's like, just standing there eating. I'm like, sit down.
Oh, yeah.
Sit. Enjoy. Sometimes we put quiet music on. That's, you know, make it an event and have a delicious, savory meal. And I think Graham talks about that a little bit too.
Yes.
And I love that. I love that. Make it like Jen used to put like her sparkling water in a wine glass, you know, whatever makes you feel like enjoy the moment. I tell you, I love my fast and I love how much energy I have and how great I feel when I'm fasted. Enjoy the eating process too. We should be able to enjoy it.
100%, because you know that feasting window is just as important as your fasting window.
Yes.
If not more important.
It's fuel for our body. It's the fuel for our body. And I look at it that way. And I feel like I have little minions in my gut, the microbiome, little minions that are like, thank you for giving me this good stuff. Thank you. Thank you. And then during the fast, the minions are saying, I need to rest too. Thank you. I need to sleep.
Rest and digest. Rest and digest. That's what I always tell myself.
Yeah. That peristalsis that happens in your gut.
Yes.
You know what peristalsis, you know, your gut, like the muscles moving.
Contraction.
It needs to relax. Yes. Our esophagus, the peristalsis in there needs to relax. And it's just a balance. It's such a beautiful balance.
It is. And it's a lot of trial and error, would you say?
Yeah.
Right? Because I feel like a lot of people get frustrated really quickly. Yeah. Because they want to be told exactly what to do, how many hours to fast, how many hours to feast, what are you eating in your eating window? Well, I can tell you what works for me and you could tell everyone what works for you, but at the end of the day, everybody is different. So I can't sit there and tell you, this is going to work. We're going to have to try. And then if that doesn't work, we're going to try something else.
Exactly.
So it is really a project of one. It's a ton of trial and error.
Yeah.
And just a lot of being a lot of patient, right?
Yeah. Giving a lot of times people would say, what's your schedule? What's your schedule? It's like, well, I'll tell you what my schedule is. And my schedule varies now that I'm in maintenance. But again, like you said earlier, we're still in the journey. You're not just like in maintenance and you stop and that's it. No, there's no way I could go back to eating the way I ate. I would vomit, I think, if I had 3 meals a day.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a lifer for this, and I know you are too. And I could never go back to the way I was eating before. I just feel beautiful. So much better. And every single year that I'm in this journey, I discover something else. It's always just a learning experience. And I love that. You're always growing from it.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing. It's because I'm eliminating, and I'm sure you've probably experienced this too, eliminating the stuff that's not serving your body. You just got to listen to your body, because now
thank you too for
hear it.
Yes. And I appreciate you being out there helping others and, helping them realize that we don't have to have this future life feeling bad and feeling terrible and getting disease. Our body's not supposed to be in a disease state. We're supposed to have homeostasis. We're supposed to feel good. We're not supposed to be that way and feel that way. So thank you for definitely for helping others find that. I feel like I want to do something, but I don't know. Maybe I could find out if I could become a health coach. I don't know.
Listen,
but
there's no limits here, and you could do anything you put your mind to. And that's how I set out with fasting. And that's what I tell everyone. I tell my clients that all the time. This is a mind game. It's like 80% a mind game.
Mindset.
Mindset matters. It matters. So if you're having trouble like getting into the mindset of fasting, you need to pick up a book about forming habits. Atomic Habits.
I haven't read that, but I want to.
There's another book, The 5-Second Habit or The 5-Second Rule. Anyway, it is such a thing about, I tell everyone, make it your habit, make it your discipline. That's a word I love to use. When you see it as that, your mind starts to shift.
Right.
And that's when the real magic starts to happen, when you can ditch the diet mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop counting calories, right? Yeah. Stop counting macros. If you need to get rid of the scale because it's making you feel like crap every day when you step on it, then do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
do use the scale now because now I'm happy with where I'm at and I want to use it as a tool. So I'm not scared of it anymore. But I was in the beginning when I got to that 160. I'm like, get away,
The scale was a real problem for me my entire life. It set the tone of my day. And it still kind of does. If I get on it at the wrong time a month I eat a big meal that maybe it was like not the best, and I get on it the next day and I'm like, what? But really, what you have to realize is that if you have a bad day, if you have a meal that maybe you didn't prefer to have and it inflamed you, it's a lot of just water weight. And getting back to your regular protocol will just get you right back to where you need to be, especially if you're in maintenance. Even if you're in weight loss mode, because your body's going to adapt in the weight loss, right? It's not fat that you've gained. It's water.
Right.
So,
and I would say it's what you do most of the time. And when I say most of the time, I don't mean 80%. I mean 95 or 98% of the time, as far as living, eating healthy and living the IF life. 80% is not going to do it, because if every weekend you're going out and just eating junk. And so even on weekends, I fast.
Me too.
And if I know we're going to go out on Saturday night, I might fast all the way till that Saturday night.
I think, Jen does say it in her book, weekends happened every week. And if we were to take off weekends, it is like stopping and starting all
it
the
is.
Time.
Losing the same 5 pounds over and over again.
So if you're in that and you're like, I'm doing this, but it's not working, but I'm not fasting on the weekends, that's why.
Right.
I mean, listen, scale back on the weekends, but still fast. That's what I do. I just scale back a little bit. If I'm going away on vacation, I still fast. I mean, maybe it's going to be like a 14 to 16 hour fast instead of like 18 to 20 or whatever I normally do. But I still make sure I get at least some kind of clean fast in.
Yeah.
And absolutely. It really every is day. Life-changing.
It's even on vacation. Even if we just went to Cancun last month for a wedding and I couldn't eat breakfast. The people that were in our group for the wedding, they would meet for breakfast at 8 o'clock and I just sat there and had my black coffee. And there were some people that didn't know me that well that were at the wedding that questioned me about it. You know, if they ask, I'll tell them, but you know, I just like, I'm just not hungry. I'm not hungry. I'll eat later.
Yeah. You know? Enjoy it later in your window. I mean, I feel the same way. And yeah. On vacation, it looks pretty similar. So aside from your IBS getting better,
mm-hmm.
I love non-scale victories because the scale only tells a part of the story. It does not tell you the whole story. Yeah. What other non-scale victories would you like to share with us? Because this is my favorite subject.
I know. I do too, because it's amazing what it does for your body overall, Well, obviously I've already told you about the energy that I have and the non-pre-diabetic anymore, all my lab work being better. That's the number one thing. But then after that, allergies, I don't have seasonal allergies anymore. I have not taken a pill in probably 3 years.
That's for allergy.
And that allergies has to do with inflammation. So a lot of times people think allergy is more like a, you know, you're allergic to everything out there and could be, but it triggers inflammation in your body. And when you do, you know, you get the puppy eyes and the sneezing, and I don't have any of that anymore. That's gone. I lost skin tags and I had like 4 or 5 around my neck and other areas. Those have just fallen off, like gone. Let me see what else. The stomach issues, the IBS. IBS is, you know, I'm still, sometimes things trigger it, but now I know it's more about the food and not the fast. It's me trying to, I need to go down the rabbit hole of the gut microbiome, which I have not done yet. So that's next on my list to think about.
Right.
I'm doing really great. I mean, I'm probably like 95% there.
Have you read Jen's Feast Without Fear?
No. Should I read that?
Go pick that one up. It's all about the gut microbiome and eating for your gut.
No, I have not done
that. It was a real game changer. I will
get that one. I don't know why I didn't get that one, but maybe I was thinking, well, I've got fasting mastered. I don't, you know, but you know, I need
it's
to work
often
on...
overlooked. It really is.
Yeah. And, yeah. I kind of forgot about that one. So I will get that. And then what else? My skin overall is better. I don't have dry skin on the elbows and the energy, sleep. My sleep is incredible. Like I used to have to take a melatonin or I had the habit of taking Advil PM. That's just so bad for you, you know, to have that all the time.
Yeah.
And so my sleep is great. I don't have to wake up and go to the bathroom in the night. Just feeling overall more energized. My mood, not that I was depressed, but your mood is down when you're not feeling good.
You
know,
try
to put on the happy face. But now I'm like Miss Pollyanna, you know.
What about like confidence? Would you say confidence?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely confidence. And I've cleaned up other parts of my life. Like the big house in Ohio, the last time we went back there, I got stressed by all the stuff. Not that it's cluttered or messy too much, but there's just stuff in there.
Yeah.
And you're decluttering stuff out of your body. Why not declutter stuff out of the physical stuff in my house?
Absolutely.
So we must have bagged up 15, 20 bags worth of stuff.
That feels so good when you can like cleanse everything
declutter.
Out of your life, we're decluttering our bodies. Why not declutter our lives?
Yeah.
Right. That's amazing.
I'm just happier. So much happier. I'm more prayerful. I kind of got back to going to church. Sadly, I lost my mom just this last January.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. And that was hard. And I talked to her about it before she passed away. And I had kind of gotten away from church. And I don't know why, whatever excuses. But I'm kind of going back to church again, just for my own self, you know, just... I just
feel
better. I'm not like, you know, holy roller religious or anything, but it just makes me feel good. And I want to pray for my family and my kids, you know, so there's just a lot of good things that have so many good things have come out of IF. It's like life-changing, like it literally is. Life-changing.
I'm so happy to hear that. It's changed your life in so many positive ways.
Yeah.
And I really hope that people are embracing this conversation, because it is so important that intermittent fasting is not just for weight loss. Most people mm-hmm. come because of the weight loss, but we stick around because of the health benefits. And
I started with the health benefits. Mine was health benefits first, because I was pre-diabetic and losing the weight was the byproduct. And I'm like, I can't be more blown away and thankful.
It's amazing. I feel the same way. I came for the weight loss, but stuck around for the health benefits. And because I truly love sharing this, I love sharing my passion for intermittent fasting. Yeah. And even though I've had friends like straight up stop talking to me. It's sad, but you know, at the same time, it's an eye opener. If you know who your true friends are, it's totally an eye opener. So, and not that you have to fast to be my friend, not at all. But it's just like, are you going to be supportive? Or are you going to be not supportive? And so the people who aren't supportive, I kind of just, you know, they left my life, and that's, I guess, whatever, you know, so
I agree. Yeah.
To that community. We talked about it in the beginning, the Facebook groups. How important do you feel like community is in this lifestyle?
Definitely huge in the beginning, because I learned so much from everybody, from Jen and you and others like you, Graham, you know, Laurie Lewis and Roxy, and just all of them are fantastic. And I have been stalking all of them. I'm not stuck. I'm just like in the Facebook page.
So
in the beginning, it was me learning and me trying to understand it. And I was probably one of the ones like, you know, why can't I just have half and half, you know? And so it was a lot for me. And then now I've more gravitated toward maybe wanting to be the helper. Not that I'm, you know, like I'm still learning, and I don't consider myself an expert, but I consider myself seasoned, you know.
You are seasoned.
And I would love to, especially perimenopause and menopause women and postmenopausal, I would love to somehow, maybe I'll come up with some kind of a group where I can help direct them a little bit.
You should.
And I would like to. I just don't know how to go about doing that, maybe because I live in two different cities and it's a little trickier.
Well,
but
I mean, you know, you could always form a Facebook group or something like that.
Yeah.
Actually helping people like I do and stuff, it helps me. It helps me keep on track, because I sometimes, you know, I have bad days too, just like anyone else. And I get up, and I, even after 3+ years of fasting, I sometimes get up and I'm ravenous.
Yeah.
I just have to remember that for 38 years, I woke up eating breakfast. So sometimes it's not perfect, or I'll have to look at what I ate or drank the night before.
I'm not perfect either.
You know, and it does really keep me going, being able to be so blessed to share this. It's a gift. I share this gift with anyone, and anyone who could listen, who's willing to listen.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
It is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah,
for real. It's not the jelly of the month club. It is clean 100%. Intermittent fasting.
And this coffee right here, the second coffee or my sparkling water, is, I think of it like money. It buys me another hour or two. Money.
Absolutely. Because you kind of get some more autophagy going.
Yeah.
Especially like at the end of your fast, I like to have a little black coffee at the end, and kind of push me through to like, maybe I was going to go for 18 and I'll get to 19 because I drank a double black espresso at the 19th hour. And
it buys you more time. So people that are struggling, please go for that water or sparkling water or black coffee or green tea. Go for it. Give yourself 10 or 15 minutes and see what happens. You'll see that wave of hunger will go down.
And then go do something that's going to be like a
distraction. Yeah, walk. Take a walk, clean the house,
call a friend, do a project, organize your closet, any yeah. distraction, you will forget about your hunger, because there's yeah. a difference between head hunger and real hunger.
That's true. 100%. And I had to work through that, but it took me like 3 years to get to that point to figure that one out.
And that is, that's so important, because I want to go, let's just back up for a second. It took me 3 years. People want this as a quick fix, and they think that they're going to have appetite correction right away. They're going to get become fat adapted in 2 weeks. It does not work that way for everyone. It could take years for you to get to that point where you're like, oh, this is what I need to be doing.
Yeah.
It's different for everyone. So That's right. You're a turtle, you know, a slow loser, and you know, please don't give up. The only way to fail at this is by quitting. That's it.
That's true. Have patience. Have patience.
Grace on yourself. Be kind to yourself.
Right. So,
I know you probably have things to do today. So I don't want to keep you too long. So the last thing I want to ask you, because we're in, you know, we're going into April now, and a lot of people started their weight loss journey or their health journey in January, when everyone loves to start something new, and they're still either adjusting, or maybe they've already adjusted, or maybe they're becoming at the end of their glucose stores and becoming fat adapted and hitting that hard spot. This is where a lot of people will throw in the towel and give up.
Yeah, you're right.
What are you going to say to that? What would you say to that person who's ready to give up because they've hit a wall?
Yeah, I would say, find out what your barriers are to this. Right. Find out, what are your obstacles? You know, is it the coffee? Is it, do you need to have a longer fast, tighten up your window? Do you need to work on what food choices you're making? Is it family support? If you truly want this, you'll do it and you'll make it happen. You will, if you really want it, because we, like you said before, we can do anything we set our mind to do. And that's a very true point. But I want to say to the people struggling or saying, I'm falling off the wagon all the time, find your barriers and focus on them. Pray about it if you have to. Figure out how to get over those obstacles, because we all do hard things in our career and our job. We've done hard things in school. We've done hard things, had to study for tests. You can do this hard thing, but you have to love yourself and want to have that future of health and happiness. Yeah.
Remembering
your why. And just like, say we failed a test in school, you study again, figure out what to do to make it happen. So find out what your barriers are and try to overcome them.
I love that. That is such great advice. Tweaking it till it's easy. Finding out your barriers, remembering your why, because what's on the other side of this hard part is priceless. Mm-hmm. It's freedom. Mm-hmm. And you're here to talk about it. I'm here to talk about it. There's a lot of others of us, and we just want to keep sharing this beautiful gift. So Tammy, I thank you so much again for being with me today. This was so much fun.
I had fun. Yeah.
It's always so fun to hear somebody's story, because everybody's story is different. And somebody listening could be so inspired to start their health journey of intermittent fasting. I really hope this inspires some people today. So Tammy, thanks again, and have a wonderful Monday wonderful week.
Thanks.
And we will talk again soon. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle. You're amazing, and keep doing what you're doing. You're fantastic. Amazing.
Thank you so much for being with me.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you all again for listening today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Follow me on Instagram at Clean Fasting Mama. And now you can even check out select episodes on my YouTube channel. Just search for the Fast and Fabulous podcast and be sure to subscribe there as well. If you would like to hear more on my story or sign up for my newsletter, please visit fastandfabulouspodcast.com. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave me a review. Fast on, friends.